Start your day with Triple M breakfast and a nice hot shower. Built tough for Aussie conditions. When it comes to water heating, ask your plumber to install a ream.
All right, here we go. Everybody get ready in 3, 2, 1.
Live from the top of Caxton Street, home of Suncorp Stadium, Lefties, Gambaros and the Caxton Hotel. On 104.5 Triple M and the Listener app, this is Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot. Triple M Breakfast.
Oh, how long is this night going? How long is this night going for?
What are you talking about, the longest night?
It's the longest night of the year.
Is it the winter solstice? Yeah?
Yes, that's today.
Oh, that's it, today.
So tonight, we're still in it until 6:38 or so, for another hour, is the longest night, and today is the shortest day.
So the sun set early last night. What time did the sun set last night?
5:01.
Oh, that is early.
And the sun doesn't come up until 6:37. So the days get longer from now and now on.
I didn't notice. I was really busy yesterday afternoon. Sorry. Really? Didn't notice what time the sun went down. I was in bed watching SVU.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
Oh, let's talk the trouble that's going on down at Collingwood Football Club. Yes, the black and white Magpies.
The AFL again.
Well, yeah, AFL, but it's the Jordan Degoe who's their, I would say, off-field troubled star. He got fined $10,000 after an incident when he was on holidays in New York at New Year's, okay?
I don't remember.
No, well, we don't follow Collingwood Football Club very often.
He got in trouble, though.
And just when he's a loose unit, he's completely tattered up, and he looks like a loose unit, and apparently he carries on a bit on the drink. So they said, righto, Collingwood said, pay the fine, we'll wipe the slate clean and, you know, start behaving yourself off field, champion.
That'll work.
Ask him nicely and that'll work.
They take the soft approach.
They did. And he started the season, he's been playing all right and everything else. Okay, so they had their bye, similar to the Lions, and they said, okay, everyone have a break, let's all just, and this is what happens, you need a bit of downtime because they've been going. They took a week or so off. He went to Bali.
Oh.
So as anyone who doesn't know the story, and it looked like he was having a bloody good time in a few bars and stuff, but in one of the videos that was shared to Instagram, it was the girl's video, so she obviously gave it all clear, which is, I don't want to go into the depths of this. He tried to pull her top across to expose her nip. She didn't seem to have a bra on. Didn't quite get there, and that scene.
She pulled it back across.
It happens in Bali. Then he was in the swimming pool having a few drinks. That seemed all right. He made a rude gesture, with his tongue and stuff. She put it on her Instagram, and then she said on the weekend.
Who is she? Did she go to Bali with him, or he met her there?
I'm unclear, Danny. I'm unclear on that bit. She
go together was my vibe. Don't quote me on that.
They seem to be pretty
not like
pally.
A girlfriend.
She's an Instagram chick, but I think they're over there together, and it was just
Instagram
they're drunk
model.
And being silly. And she posted it all, like Marto
said. She said it was all fine.
She was
okay?
fine with
She's
it.
Cool.
It
she was laughing.
It wasn't sexual harassment or anything like that. Anyway, as of yesterday, Collingwood did have, because he's out off contract at the end of the year, and there's been speculation, this club might want him because he's a bloody good footballer. This club might want him, that club might want him. Collingwood said, there's our offer. This is only a couple of weeks ago. 4-year deal worth $800,000 a year, $3.2 million.
Wow.
Pulled it off the table yesterday. They said, you're a disgrace. That's off the table. And all these other clubs go, we don't want that in our leadership group. We don't want that.
Keep it off Instagram, you idiot.
All right.
Keep it off Instagram.
Thank you.
You could get away with so much more.
Do what you want, but keep it off Instagram.
Can we park that to the side? Can we just say Bali? And what's it cost people? Like, I'm not talking Chappelle Corby.
It's cost him $3.2 million.
It's cost him $3.2 million.
It cost Chappelle 20 years of her life.
I know. What is that worth? But David Fifita, remember when he went over there with Payne Haas and got into trouble and they had to send the secret agent Bronco guy?
That didn't cost David Fifita and Payne Haas anything. That cost the Broncos $40,000.
Is that how much they had to pay?
Yeah, they took that briefcase over, remember?
Can we just all cast our mind back? That night when we let off some fireworks and they fell over and went inside the thatch hut where we were staying, I think we gave them $4,000 or $5,000 for that one. There was a fair bit of damage with the, one of the ones that fly in the air, the fireworks that go in the air. Rockets. Because we were drunk, they fell over and went horizontally at the kitchen and there was a fair bit of damage.
You've turned it from a rocket into a missile.
Yes.
And it almost killed people as well. But that only cost us $4,000. That's what I want here. 133353. How much did Bali cost you?
Well, it should have cost us $500. $500 for a fine, but we managed to talk our way into a $15 fine for not wearing helmets on the Vespas.
What did Bali cost you?
It's cheap unless you're Jordan DeGoey. It cost you $3.2 million on your Collingwood contract.
Yeah, and Noel from Mount Cotton, did you go over to Bali and got more than you bargained for?
Yeah, we did, guys. It was a while ago. It was about 1996.
Golden era.
It must have been pretty corrupt then. We'd get pulled over a few times and they'd argue with us until they find us. But one time they pulled us over, there was four of us, and they said to us, "You follow us or we take you to jail." And they took us from Kuta with a full police escort from Kuta to Nusa Dua.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a long way.
And they made us do water sports.
Mate, what, on the jet ski?
They reckon if we didn't do it, they'd take us to jail.
Did you say water sports or water board?
Water sports.
Water sports.
The girls had to do parasailing, and we had to hire jet skis.
was it an activity that you had to pay for, though, Noel? Like they just wanted to pump
it
up the
been
tourism,
their brother.
The economy.
They made us pay 25,000 rupiah each.
Yeah. So one of their brothers, like a Wayan or something, the older brother, must have owned the business.
They're getting business for them.
It was a full police escort all the way there.
Incredible. No traffic. How good.
I've heard of that. Some one brother will own the tourism bus and it will always break down in front of a particular cafe.
Yeah.
Marto and Margot. Triple M Breakfast.
Hey, one of SBS's most loved series is coming back tonight. It's an interesting one. You know, that Who Do You Think You Are? There's a lot of devotees, but there's a lot of people. Maybe you have a look because you go, oh, yeah, what's this all about? People exploring their past and finding out. And that's a very popular thing in society.
Dangerous. Can be dangerous.
I've seen the list of people for this season. As I said, it starts tonight. Justin Hodges is on it. I don't know whether it's tonight or not, but he's done the show, which... I thought it'd be interesting to ask the great man, what was it like? 254 first grade games, 24 Origins, 13 tests for Australia. Not bad, huh?
Not bad. He joins us now. Justin Hodges, good morning.
Good morning. How are we?
Yeah, Hodjo, Who Do You Think You Are? New show 7:30 tonight on SBS. What did you go into this hoping to find out?
Oh, look, I wanted to try and find as much as I can, Margo. I think, as you know, when you play rugby league, that's all your life. So a lot of my Indigenous side sort of got pushed to the side for a long period of time there, and obviously my kids are getting a little bit older, so they're starting to ask me some questions, and a lot of the questions they asked I didn't have the answers to.
What did you find out that you found the most compelling, or perhaps what was the thing that you were most confronted by? Because I read a statement that said, when I found out that, I was in disbelief and it was the hardest day of my life.
Yeah, I think it was around the stolen generations. For a long period, or for most of our life, we never thought that we were a part of that. But, you know, it comes to light that... and my mum probably had no idea that she was actually a full Indigenous lady. And her mother as well, where they came from Herberton, and her mother was sent to the mission, separated from one of her children as well. And then she had another son that she didn't know about as well. So that was probably the most confronting things where... A lot of our family, we had no idea that our family was, directly impacted by the stolen generation.
I'm looking forward to actually watching that as you and a heap of other Australians. So that's Who Do You Think You Are on SBS tonight at 7:30. But can we also talk?
Rugby league
with you. Origin.
Yeah, look, I thought game one was outstanding. To go down there and pinch it and win it. It's such a fast game. I remember I actually went down there to do some work and, just to see the boys put the effort in that they did was unbelievable. But, that sort of gives them a bit of a leeway now to try and go over to Perth and win game two. And obviously Freddie's made 6-7 changes there. So that's a lot coming into a must-win game for them. So they've got only 6 days to prepare and get everything right. Where, on the other hand, we've probably got that little bit more confidence as well. We haven't made too many changes and then go over there and try and wrap it all up. But, last time we went to Perth as well, we got absolutely hammered.
Hodjo, speaking of Origin, you've got Paul Gallen in your sights because, of course, you moonlight as a boxer. But you've got Ben Hannett that you have to beat before you get to Paul. Is that next week, you and Ben Hannett going head-to-head?
Next week. Yeah.
I wouldn't say boxing. It's more entertainment. But... that's something that's come up pretty quick. So obviously me and Benny be getting into the ring next Wednesday. next Wednesday night. So
it's here at the convention centre too in Brizzy.
Hey, his wife left us a message. Could you punch him in the nuts? They've got enough kids.
Oh, no, he's got 8 kids. He probably wants more. So if she wants that, well,
that's why he's got to keep boxing, isn't it? To pay for them all.
I was just going to say, Hodger, I worked with him for nearly 6 years. Yeah. Now, just hope that there isn't extra money for the winner, because Hannah is
he loves
needs,
a dollar.
Mate, if there's an incentive to win this fight, you're in trouble here, Hodjo.
Yeah, you know, I know. Well, you know what he's like, mate. He doesn't like pay for anything. So,
100%.
He's going to be out there. But no, he's looking good. The big boy. He's obviously training really hard. We both are. So it's going to be a good night. We only got 4 rounds, and then we'll punch the crap out of each other. Then he doesn't know he doesn't drink, but I'll have a beer after for sure.
He'll have a ginger beer. But first of all, we've got to get through 7:30 p.m. tonight on SBS.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Good on you, mate.
Good Thanks, luck. Hodge. All the best. Thanks, Hodge.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
No worries. See you guys. Go bye-bye. Well.
Justin Hodges there, 104.5 Triple M.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Marco.
We got tickets to Origin 3, either the Decider or Queensland shot at a Maroon wash on the show today with Mate of Origin.
Hey, it's one of these. It's a triple header. The first one's at Surfers Paradise. What about this bloke?
A 31-year-old Surfers Paradise man, believed to be an associate of the Common Cheros, was intercepted by police on June 7, found with $70,000 worth of drugs.
Very, very bad. Jesus. So you think to yourself, what do I do? I've come to the attention of the police. I'm going to lie low for a while and just stay out of sight.
10 days later, police then raided his home, locating large quantities of cocaine, methamphetamine and cannabis, along with scales and drug utensils. He will appear in the Brisbane Magistrates Court tomorrow.
Oh, dear. Right. Oh, that's dear. Number one.
Okay, what about this one, Marto, that I saw, if we're going to do this sort of thing?
Yeah. What have you got?
After this article is incredible. I have to read directly from it. In what was both an exquisite display of engineering and a travesty of justice, a teenager was caught riding a motorised Esky filled with weed, electric scales and a dirty old bong around Melbourne. Like a horse, he bravely galloped into battle. The police allege the 17-year-old boy was ferrying drugs on his handsome beast.
It's
a red Esky motorised scooter. It's got 2 shovels on one side, a slippery when wet sign attached to the front,
and it had
all sorts of cannabis paraphernalia. But there's been lots of jokes. The chuff chariot, it's been referenced as. The weed, big red weed wagon.
What would make the cops pull up a 17-year-old on a Saturday afternoon riding a motorised Esky?
Well, there had been several...
Why would they?
With stickers of marijuana all over. I wonder what's in there, bloke.
You know what it drew the attention of? Yeah. The police helicopter. The police helicopter followed it around the streets until police in cop cars on the ground found it, which they then went on to call the mobile marijuana unit.
Is there such a thing?
That's what the police called it.
All right.
He hasn't been charged.
I'll see you that.
He should get an AO for that behaviour.
I'll give you one more. What about this bloke?
Police again striking on Saturday, intercepting a vehicle in Currumbin waters, finding 136 kilograms of cannabis with a street value of $1.15 million. Detectives originally pulling the Eleonora man over for driving an unregistered vehicle.
Oh. Eleonora man, that's all you needed to say.
Hold on. I got $1 million worth of drugs. Has anyone paid the rego?
Marto and Margo on Triple M Breakfast.
Bit of feedback after the show yesterday, Margo. Did you see about you wearing pajamas or about people wearing pajamas out in public, etc.?
I think we were called pigs, was it?
Well, no, not us. Those people who went for a 3-kilometre walk and then went to bed.
Anyone going for a 3-kilometre walk in their pyjamas and not doing anything but having a shower, pigs is what the comment was. But we get lots of feedback from you guys, 0484101045, and we love it. We welcome it.
Hey, listen, can I just give something a plug? You know, we're always saying, oh, Barnsley's playing here and Screaming Jets are playing there. There's a band called TISM playing. Now, somebody told me, said, Marty, give this a plug. TISM had about 15 members.
This is serious,
this is serious, Mum.
Yeah, Greg the stop sign.
They were Mento. Yes, Greg. Hey, Greg, the stop sign. Now, they're playing at Brisbane Showgrounds December 4th. Thought I'd give them a plug because somebody went to the trouble of telling us about it. So
now, they're anonymous, right? Was the thing that they were teachers and they couldn't reveal their identity?
I thought they were lawyers. They all wore masks. You never saw them, who they were.
The other one that I've picked up on the burner phone that I love, obviously the rush hour in the afternoon must have been talking about something in regard to Anastasia attending the Logies, Anastasia Palaszczuk, our premier. And we get there text messages through because it's our Bonafone, Triple M Breakfast, not their Bonafone. So they don't check it. We check it. And so there was a few that came through in regards to the Logies chat. But one thing that I do love here, Marto, that we overlooked, Anaconda, they're calling her on the Bonafone.
Our Premier.
You know how you call her Palace Chook? Well, these people are calling her Anaconda. I thought that was quite clever.
That's brilliant. And a lot of people don't use their name, but Ray Stevens has had, hey, Marto, what did the Indigenous people call Brisbane? It was Meanjin, wasn't it?
Yes,
it's Meanjin.
We did talk about that whilst we discussed the name where Brisbane came from.
Yep, and listen, there's a horse running. I remember we were doing the succulent Chinese meal on Friday. There's a horse running around in Sydney. Have you got any of that audio? No, not yet.
The bitch you wanted in late. No, sorry, mate.
Yeah, one of the signatures is Democracy Manifest.
Ah, hang on, I think I might have that. I might have just crept in.
This is Democracy Manifest.
There's a horse in Sydney running around, racehorse in Sydney running around with that name.
Tell me there's one called Succulent Chinese Meal.
You'd love it. It'd be probably out of Succulent Chinese Meal. And listen, there's just this one, Margot, and can you read it out, one about you can't do...
There's been several instances where something needs addressing it's just one little word, but it seems to be irking a few people. And I know Marto and I, we've discussed it.
Just quietly.
Mm.
And
just quietly.
It's an internal team matter, but now it's being discussed by the listeners.
The listeners.
Okay.
It's time for one of these.
Oh, God.
We've only been together for a few weeks, but...
And we don't like to, criticise or pull anyone up on anything, but we just thought maybe that we might bring this to your attention.
It's happening quickly. It's not the haircut, is it? The haircut's okay?
The haircut
haircut's
fast.
Fine. The attitude's great.
I feel like there's a big butt coming.
Very clever, very creative behind the desk. We love having you on board as part of the team.
It's one word.
It's one little word.
It's one little word. It's this.
Yeah, that's it, bruv. It was that easy. You'll be there as well, bruv. Good on you. Game on, bruv. You're a genius. Amos Gill, always a pleasure. Good on you, bruv. Have fun. The Mighty Lions, who are top of the table, if you don't mind, taking on the Doggies, bruv. Mal, you'll be there front and centre, bruv.
There is a hard ruling that the word bruv is not allowed to be featured on Triple M. Our blokes have shared their concern and their disappointment. The listeners have spoken.
New generation's here, bruv.
We've taken it to the tribal council.
You've obviously brought this from the Gold Coast. Now wash it off and don't bring it anymore.
It could be a Gold Coast
thing. Tribal council says bruv has got to go.
The bruv torch has been extinguished.
Time to go. Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot. Guys, we haven't done this for a little while. Dan, I'm not sure if we've done this since you were here. I want to do what we call a temperature check. And if you can look somewhere over there, there might be something that sounds like it.
Mm.
But on the weekend, I spent 4 days at a touch football carnival. It was the under 12 state championships where all of the regions from Queensland came together and had a carnival against each other, boys and girls. And my daughter Memphis, our eldest daughter, she's 12. She played for the Met East region, which makes up all of Bayside, Redlands, et cetera. And
4 days.
4 days with Carnival. She played 3 games Thursday, 3 games Friday, 3 games Saturday, 2 games Sunday morning, and then there was a final. And it was the top two teams collectively overall with the most cumulative points that played off in the final. We were in the top two up against South Coast. They were the winners overall.
What's South Coast, Goldie?
So South Coast is anywhere from Shaler Park to Palm Beach. It's a big spread of kids and they have a lot of excellence programs down there. And these under 12 girls were phenomenal touch players. Some of them transition between rugby league, rugby union and touch. So they're great athletes.
Similar sports.
Year 12, 12 years old girls. And so there we are. We win 10 of 11 games. We get beaten in our last game, which is by South Coast, who we then face off in the final.
Oh, one of those.
And it was tough. You know, tough competition. South Coast are good. They've got a great reputation. And congratulations to them. They won in the end. They took out the state championship title. They select a Queensland team from their motto. And then they go on to play nationals.
What?
And
under 12s.
Incredible, yeah. And 5 of the girls in our Met East side got selected in the Queensland team, which was incredible, and pretty much the rest of the team was South Coast.
What do you want to take the temperature on?
Well, I want to do a temperature check because this
was... Do you
want
to do it officially, mate?
Do you have
Triple
it?
M Breakfast temperature check.
What's it about?
The 4-day carnival run by Metropolitan Touch Association out there at Whites Hill was phenomenal. It was seamless. The games were on time. The girls, the sportsmanship, like other teams were making tunnels for the girls to run onto.
That.
It was beautiful. The sportsmanship was incredible. The boys' teams in between breaks would come and watch the girls' teams play and vice versa. It was really nice. It was a really proud moment for me. Memphis never plays, doesn't play a lot of touch. She's a netballer. And so for her to be selected in the side was massive. Like, we were like, oh, my God, how did you make the team, essentially? But she made the team, and they were so inclusive. The girls were really beautiful. They welcomed her because a lot of them play club footy together. And the parents were really, you know, they embraced me as a new mum. I'm like, I feel really underwhelmed and underprepared because I have no idea about touch. I don't know the rules. I don't know what to yell out.
But
I'm just like, go, girls. Yes, girls. Let's go.
Keep
eat.
It positive.
This
keep
all sounds
it positive.
Good, mate. What's your problem? What's
well, my problem is there's some parents that ruin it for everyone else, right?
Are you one of them?
And there had been some whisperings that some of the parent encouragement wasn't so encouraging and it was very intimidating. And I'm not going to repeat what was said.
Towards the players or towards the referee?
Towards both. So towards the players, intimidating the opposing team at the try line. And then there were some calls made out by a couple of dads where the referee actually blew his whistle, turned and said, I am the ref, I know the rules, no more. They got put on notice.
Imagine getting yellow carded as a spectator.
A spectator.
It's happened.
And I just thought, and then there was all the whisperings in and amongst the parents, and they're like, they're ruining it for the kids because the girls are the ones that end up getting penalised for it because they're the ones that get looked upon badly. And I just thought, are parents ruining sport for kids? Because we're passionate and we're proud and we want them to do well and be successful, and I get all of that. But there was not a lot of parents sitting there quietly, and the parents that were very vocal was not positive.
Is that your question? Are parents ruining kids' sport? Because you're talking touch. You go to body contact, yeah, like rugby league or rugby union, and 133353, you ask and people will tell you about passion and about violence. There's some shocking things going on.
Yeah, 133353, because I think there's a difference. There's a difference between up and tackle and smash them. Yeah. Like, I think that there's such a difference, and I think we as parents need to check ourselves on the sideline, because I'm vocal too, don't get me wrong, but we've got to keep it positive.
Ruth from Caboolture, what sport are you talking?
Yeah, both my boys referee rugby league, one plays as well, and I just think people need to remember that parents are there watching their kids referee as well, and it's pretty hard to stand there and listen to someone abuse your kid, and he's just out there doing the best he can. There's a shortage of referees at the moment. If all these people know so much, sign on up.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If they're going to continue to be abused as kids, they're not going to want to continue that as a pathway.
AFL are having big issues with that now, I believe.
Oh, yeah, especially
getting
the girl.
Getting umpires in because no one wants to do it. This is this whole dissent rule now, respect the umpires, because they've got a dearth of umpires. Yeah. No one wants to do it. It's a terrible gig.
It is a terrible gig. And Ruth, I apologise for your boys having to experience that. But I did hear that they put over the loudspeaker. Can we remember that this is a kids' game? Yeah. You know, we're here to have some fun. Yes, it's a competition. We understand, you know, that this means something to them as well. But at the same time, they're just kids. Let them play.
The problem is the parents haven't achieved enough when they were young, so they're superimposing their own ambitions onto the kids. That's always the problem. Paul from Traveston, what sport?
Motocross, mate, and dirt track. Mum and official.
Motocross?
Yeah. Mate, I've had parents, kids come in and they're in tears because such and such beat him up, beat him on the line. And the parents have just gone head-to-head and have fisticuffs in the pits.
Well, you're kidding, aren't you?
No. I've kicked them out of probably 3 meetings. I've run and gone, you're out, take your kids, go.
Oh, and this is the thing, like, that punishes the kids who are there to just play sport or ride motorbikes and have a bit of fun and a bit of a break and some relief probably from their parents at home. Yeah. And then the parents are bringing it to the sport with them. And then
you can't come
they're the
because
ones getting kicked
dad,
out.
It's Yelena Dockett syndrome, isn't it?
So yeah. Your dad's a pest. Well, it's often the dads, let's just admit it. Generally. The dads have got frustration that maybe their work during the week isn't going, haven't got enough power. So on the weekends, I used to be able to ride motorbikes, so I'm going to control this.
And I, as a parent, overhearing those parents speak and yell like that, want to go and say something, but I don't for the sake of the fact that I don't want to get my head punched in.
Otherwise, it's
so
on.
So I stay quiet. But ultimately, what we need to be doing is pulling each other up and going, come on, it's just a kid's sport. You know, we don't need that nonsense.
Too much passion.
But unfortunately, is it a matter of they were not successful as a child and now they're living through their own children? I don't know. But anyway, parents out there, there's encouraging and cheering and then there's, you know, unnecessary nonsense. Let's find that line, you know, and don't cross over it, because ultimately it's the kids that suffer in the end.
Save your booing for State of Origin, please, yeah, for the Blues.
For the professionals.
Thank you.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
A bit of a topic swirling on social media, Marto and Dan, is that of the Aboriginal flag or the Indigenous flag being cast off the, what's the Sydney Harbour Bridge in New South Wales. So there's a fair bit of talk around the fact that it was approved about 18 months ago. It was approved. New South Wales said, yep, we want it. We want to hang it up. Let's do it.
What do you mean? They already do it during NAIDOC week.
Yeah, so they take down, there's two flags on the Sydney Harbour Bridge, the Australian flag,
yeah,
which has the, what's the English bit? The
Union Jack.
The Union Jack up in the one corner, yes, whatever that is.
And you know, the Southern, like a patchwork Cross. Quilt. What's the Australian bit? The Southern Cross.
And then they've got a New South Wales flag, and then they take down the New South Wales flag, they put up the Indigenous flag, and they fly it there. And I think it happens 9 times a year. But what they're wanting to do
is this, if Dominic Perrottet, if Queensland win the Origin, I'm going to pull down the New South Wales flag and put the Queensland one up for a night or two.
Well, I think they were going to light the bridge in maroon.
Okay.
And so what they're suggesting is the Indigenous flag should be there just all the time. Like, don't just put it up 9 times a year. Put it up always. And so they're like, yep, that's a great point. We're going to do that. So we'll do it. So we'll send out the tender, I guess they call it. So contractors say we're going to erect the new flag.
Or flag pole.
Oh, they need a new pole.
Need a new pole. Turns out it's going to cost $25 million to erect said Aboriginal flag. And it was put yesterday at a press conference to
$25 million for a flagpole.
That's exactly right, Marto. Like, phenomenal. Like, who is this? Is this the mate of a mate of a mate? And, you know, they're giving him a bit of a job, you know?
Is that what's happened, is it?
Well, I don't know what's happened. It doesn't seem anybody knows.
$25 million, is it in a giant brown paper bag that gets left to Kirribilli as well?
Possibly. But when a reporter asked Dominic Perrottet, the Premier of New South Wales, yesterday, he didn't even know the answer.
I mean, the fact that we built the Harbour Bridge back in the 1920s, I'm even surprised it takes this long. The first brief that came back was it'd probably take 2 years to do. I mean, I'll climb up there. I'll go to Bunnings myself. I'll climb up there and put the pole up.
Yeah, great. Let's do that.
Let's do that.
I mean, don't they do a bridge climb like every day, like 10 times a day every day? Just give the flag to somebody up there and a pole.
Can you take this pole up?
They've got harnesses done already.
You take the screws and we'll get this sorted out.
Just get a bunch of tradies up there. I mean, look, we've been overseas and seen how quickly they can erect buildings, for God's sake, in a really, really short period
of
time.
Didn't China build an entire hospital for 1,000 beds in
11 days?
Yeah, they're saying it's going to take 2 years to erect a pole. Dubai built a whole city in 40 years. You know, like, seriously, come on. We need to sort ourselves out. And they're like, oh, well, while they're up there, they may as well this flag, because then they're saying, oh, now that the Aboriginal flag is going to be up there, they're going to want the Indigenous Torres Strait Island flag up there. You know what? I've got a solution.
Yeah, what do you got?
Stitch all of the flags together.
Like a
patchwork quilt. We've got plenty of nanas out there sitting in aged care, just quilting away or crocheting away. Give them something to do. We just need one big patchwork quilt of all the flags with gay pride
flag.
Why
aren't the 16 NRL teams up there?
Get them up there.
All of them. The Brisbane, just get every flag together and
Elbow
then just
will
one
sort out the Rabbitohs,
big
right?
ass yep. pole. I mean, I've got a pole. I can lend them if they need. I've got a kiddie pole.
Why don't we all just contribute a little bit of pole and when the whole, everyone puts together, the thing will be 300 metres long.
So what we need, this
Planes
is our tender. We need a tradie whose mum, whose grandmas can sew that, and then give him some masking tape, give him a free bridge climb, send him up. We're all sorted.
How hard is it, surely?
Not easy.
I could do that.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
Hey, let's briefly talk Origin. It's on Sunday. Brief turnaround after the teams, because normally they have a 10-day. It's only sort of a 6-day preparation. And I tell you what, already, you look at the Queensland team and they've nailed it. Did you see New South Wales went over yesterday morning or the night before on Monday, on Sunday night? They had to front up to the media yesterday. So they've got all the media. And of course, the WA media, they're trying to sell out the stadium and they are interested. And all the Sydney media's gone over there. They had to do interviews. Whereas Queensland are not going over until Thursday. They're just going to
doing all their prep here.
Lob in, getting everything settled, feeling good about themselves. Fly in Thursday, get ready for the game. Captains run on the Friday, Saturday, and play the game and come home. It'll be like a hit and run raid. Can we talk about Queensland Origin and why we win and why? Because everyone goes, how does Queensland, New South Wales people don't get it. What's there to get? It's not just about having a chip on a shoulder. It's about having a vibe. All the way back to where it started. when Arthur Beaton was coach, and it goes to the coaches, that's what I'm going to say. They create the vibe and the atmosphere because it's not about they're the best at what they do in Queensland, in the whole of this state. You just have to bring them together. You don't have to coach them how to pass, how to kick or how to do anything. Have to coach them how to have an attitude. And Billy Slater's incredible. He went from Arthur Beetson to Wayne Bennett. He always had a good vibe. Always had a good vibe.
Great vibe.
Paul Vorton, that amazing year in 1995. You were barely bloody born. But what happened? He had no idea how to coach. All he had to do, he had a good idea how to bring guys together. He had blokes. He had Origin training. They were training in red wigs. One Paul Vorton, and that was the greatest upset in the history of Origin, bar none.
It's got to be about having fun. They know how
Wayne
to play.
Wayne Bennett 2 years ago. Yeah. They were the worst team in Origin history. Yeah. They were called and ended up winning because they had the vibe.
That's Mal Meninga too. The thing I've always heard about him is he is a vibe machine.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
8 from 8. That was the year. You know, those were the years.
Yeah. Last year, Paul Green. Stern.
Oh, no.
Discipline. Not vibey at all. And even he had JT, Jonathan Thurston, his assistant coach. And it was serious Jonathan Thurston. That's not what you want. Billy Slater pokes his head up this year.
That's the JT you want.
All right, think about it. Then he appoints Cam Smith, who's a funster anyway. Cam Smith is a really fun guy, despite what you may see on Cam. No,
the best football brain in the game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he's got here. Billy Slater's unbelievable and a lovely bloke. And you've got JT. JT is being trained up to become the new Alfie. You know that.
He's just a big kid.
He's the vibe. And then we see on, what was that, social media, I suppose you call it, well, the Queensland Rugby League released it the other day. It was the night before the night before they played the first Origin, okay? So Tuesday night, you have your captain's run at Olympic Stadium. There's the big stadium, you know, holds 90,000 people in the background. They were only people there. At the end of their run, and they virtually just played touch footy on that occasion, at the end of the run, JT decides to have a shot at goal. And there was a bit of, you've seen it, haven't you?
Yeah, there was a bit of banter. They're like, oh, you won't make it. You're old. Well, you've been out of the game.
He was 35 metres out and about, what, 10, 15 in from the sideline. Fair thing. No warm-up. He did a couple of jump up and down on the one spot. There was no stretching or anything.
Turn the hat backwards.
And what were they doing? They were beating him $20.
He said, if I get it, you owe me. If I miss it, I owe you. And it was lobsters they had on the line.
That was good odds, I think, because he said,
half to one.
That's right. He goes, if I miss it, I'll give you 20, but if I get it, you give me 50.
So he goes to it. Actually, here's how it goes, and you tell me this isn't a great vibe. Should I spoil it by telling what happened?
No.
Okay.
I think they'll figure it out.
Well, you'll need to listen for a certain bit.
It was very similar to 2015 grand final, what happened there when he was kicking from the sideline and then hit the bar.
Yeah,
here we go.
Listen. Marto will explain it after, but listen very close.
Tell me you can't make that.
If I miss, I'll give you a lobster. If I get it, you've got to give me a point. The boys are going to give me a point. I'm 35 metres out.
You saw it through the other day.
What have we heard there, Marto? We heard a bit of a doink.
He's launched it. Yeah, they've all gotten on. Yeah, we'll give you that. Yeah, you won't make this. It's hit the crossbar. It bounced up. It hit the upright and went, well, we thought it went
over, but I think they've jimmied him up. They've stitched him up.
JT has commented like all these lobster emojis underneath, which would imply he's got to pay up. They told him he missed. We don't know.
Anyway, the take-home message is it is about attitude and vibe. That was 24 hours before that upset Origin 1 win. And if you've got everyone laughing and shouting like that, you're in a bloody good
place. The vibe
is high. Absolutely. Yep. Go those Maroons for game 2 and then back home here for game 3 at Suncorp.
Yeah,
we've got your tickets on Triple M as well.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
Hey, boys, I saw a suggestion the other day in and around how the salary system and structure works here in Australia, and it was that a lot of people don't have access to their salary monthly, and we get paid monthly here at the radio station, and there was a suggestion that why don't people get their money or have access to their money as they go? So you know how in building terms, Marto, they do like a progress. Is it a progress report?
But you might only get paid every 2 months, 3 months.
Well, that's ridiculous. Who knows how to budget 3 months in advance? Times are tough.
Do you want an envelope after every show filled with cash?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Pay me old school.
There you go.
Give me cash because then it's tangible and I can see it. Was when on my card, I'm like tap, 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 tap. Corey's like, babe, You don't get paid for another month. Like, calm it
down.
I'm like, just put my money in my account. He goes, we don't have any because you've spent it all. Yeah. And you're only a week in and I, you know, feel rich for the first week and then I'm really poor for the next 3 weeks.
Can we speak to this bloke who we often speak to? Scott Phillips, our finance expert at Motley Fool. Can you jump in at this point, please, mate?
Morning, team. I feel like I'm going to jump right in the middle of a domestic dispute here just quietly.
Yeah. I'm going to do my level money.
Best. She wants her money every
day. I want it more quickly than every month. Why can't I have access to it weekly or fortnightly or as I earn it?
I think that is a really, really good point. And these days, there is absolutely no reason you can't. It also depends on who you work for. I get paid monthly as well. I get paid on the last day of the month for the month I've just done. I used to get paid at a previous employer midway through the month, and it was effectively 2 weeks in advance and 2 weeks in arrears.
Yeah, hold up, but you're a grown-up who I would hope has a budget.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
A budget. Do you have a budget, yes. Margo?
Corey does, I'm sure.
Scotty.
Maybe it's him we need to be talking
there
to.
Used to be an argument.
For this sort of thing.
No, mate, there used to be an argument where it was difficult to do the books and you'd have to pay financiers and your company. Yeah, nowadays, that is all automated, mate. There's no reason why they couldn't just chuck a couple $100 in your account every day or whatever it is for a day's work. Why
pay
not?
Pay me for today.
Super simple. No, and you know what? There's absolutely no reason you couldn't do it these days. So, you're asking me as if there might be some sort of solution. There isn't. There's just an employer chooses not to, prefers not to.
Let's say our company has 5,000 employees. I have no idea. But if you only pay them once a month, there are certain interest accumulations. They keep your money for an extra three weeks and 6 days.
Yeah, they play the stock market with it, don't they?
I'd rather
be making money on it or spending it.
There's absolutely no reason you couldn't do it. Yeah. It would be a cash flow issue for some businesses because if you mentioned you're getting paid every 2 or 3 months of the building trade, and again, I'll have to make too much about the radio station, but they'll have bills they've got outstanding for advertisers who might pay them 30, 60, 90 days, whatever it is after the ads run or something like that. There would be some cash flow adjustments that businesses would have to make. But to your point, like there is literally no reason you couldn't get paid monthly. You need to be a little bit careful because, some bills are monthly, some are weekly.
Have you got a golden rule? Like I was trying to tell my son who works in the building industry, I try to say to him, have 8 weeks money up your sleeve in case you put a nail into your hand or, in case you break your leg falling off something because he hasn't got insurance.
Because
these young people are bulletproof.
Well, they can't afford it either.
8 weeks. What do you tell people to have up their sleeves?
This will shock you and some other people. Try and get to 6 months over time. You look around. Look, right now unemployment's 3.9%. Everyone's sweet, right? Let's assume a situation 6 months, 8 months, 12 months time when unemployment gets to 7%. The economy's in recession. If you get laid off, you're not going to walk into a job the next day necessarily.
Okay.
So you want to get to 6 weeks. Now, you're not going to have it 6 months. You're not going to have it straight away. I'm not saying people go and find that, but the reality is, add up your budget, add up what you spend every 6 months. Take out the stuff you don't need to spend, right? You don't need to go to the high-end restaurants and drink bolly. So take that stuff out. But then what's left? Got to pay the mortgage, got to pay the electricity rates, car insurance, that kind of stuff. Don't go for the pay advance rubbish. There's some services out there now who are saying, for 5% of your pay, we'll give you your pay in advance or straight away or whatever.
Oh, no.
The boss should sort this one out. Don't go to one of those pay advance mobs. It is absolute poison.
Yeah. I've got your solution, Margo. Corey just pays you a couple $100 a day. Right?
He does.
It's already happening. Scotty Phillips, the finance expert at Motley Fool. Always a treat, mate.
Have a good day, guys.
Triple M. You heard correctly, Mate of Origin. This is where you call your mate live on the show. If your mate picks up, you win tickets to Origin 3. If they dodge your call, the next person waiting on the phone will steal those tickets from you.
This is what Origin's built on. Friendship, loyalty, trust, and mate. And that's why Queensland have always been superior, because New South Wales don't understand the concept, do they, Margo?
Well, I don't know. Let's ask Matt. Do your mates understand the concept of that, Matt?
I understand that.
Now, listen, Mate of Origin, you've nominated a mate. Who is it?
Sean.
Sean, how close are you? What have you been? Have you been through any wars together or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. Just work together, actually.
All right. Now, you understand the fact that we're going to give Sean a call right now, and if he answers, you and Sean are headed to State of Origin. If not, Bob from Logan is on the line. Bob, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Mate, you're going to be hoping that Sean does not answer our call.
Oh, yeah, I'm really hoping.
Okay. All right, Bobby. Okay. Yeah.
It's a bunch of wildcats here. Matt from Deception Bay, we're going to give Sean...
Live wires.
Jesus.
Matty, you're back. You ready?
Right,
Matt.
Yep.
Matt, we're going to give Sean a call. Let's dial in the number and see if he answers.
Cool. Right,
it's ringing. Good luck. How many do we give it?
Well, it goes to voicemail.
Hello.
Hey, Sean, do you like rugby league?
No, I do, mate. I do.
Do you like State of Origin?
Only if you're a Queenslander.
Do you like Matt?
Matt, I do like Matt.
You're going to State of Origin, Game 3 at Suncorp Stadium.
Oh, deadly.
Matt's here as well. Say thanks.
Oh, sweet. Queenslander, game, Queenslanders.
How do you two know each other?
Just through work.
Can I check? Are you on a building site of some sort, one on one end, one on the other end? Where are you right now?
I'm outside. He's, I think Sean's inside. I'm outside.
Well coordinated, lads.
I don't know where he is. Yeah.
That's great. Well, go and give each other a hug this morning at Smoko and enjoy because you're going to the third Origin.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, Bob.
Call back tomorrow, mate. We are doing it again tomorrow. Mate of Origin, your shot at Game 3, State of Origin, Suncorp Stadium. It's Triple M.
Mano and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
Hey, we all saw the Logies down the Gold Coast Sunday night. The deal has now expired. There was a 3-year deal to host the Logies, but a snitch in the Premier's office, they won't be happy with that, shot us a message to say the state government and Gold Coast City Council are working on a plan to keep the Logies on the glitter slip. What
would we do without it? If we lose the Logies, Queensland will fold.
Well, most of the reality stars live on the Gold Coast anyway, so it's nice and easy for them to get to.
Save money on flights.
Yes. What about this one? A couple of weeks ago, we told you that Ray Rabs Warren would be hanging up his football commentary boots.
We had a lovely interview with
him. We spoke to him and he's such a beautiful man. He said, no, it's time for me. I'm done. I've got nothing to prove. 99 Origins, he's called. Well, it turns out, Ray Warren, we won't be hearing him on our screens come Origin night, but you might be hearing him today if you tune in to Bluey, you know, the kids' cartoon.
Goes for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Bluey on ABC Today. I hear a rumour that Ray Warren will be featuring in the State of Origin episode that they're airing.
What?
Bluey and her family, Chili and Bandit and whatever else their names are, will be sitting down to watch the State of Origin as a family.
And Rabsy calling it.
And Rabsy will be featuring in the show.
Sad. Brilliant that it's a Brisbane show, but unfortunate around Origin time that it's called Bluey.
Yeah, anyway. Huge around the world, that show. That's great.
It is. Well, it's the reason that who's coming to Australia? Just said Billy Joel's
coming. These two young kids love Bluey.
There you go.
We should talk to that guy. He's a Brizzy dad. We should have him on the show.
Yeah. As you can see, scenes of Brisbane in the show. $1,000 cash if you get us a rumour and it becomes a truma. You'll go in the running for that. 1-3-3-5-3-0-4-8-4-10-1-0-4-5 is a burner phone. Get in touch. Triple M's rumour file.
Mano and Margo. Triple M Breakfast.
104.5, Triple M, Marto and Margo with you. Tickets to Origin 3 on the show again tomorrow. So that is the one at Suncorp, either the Decider or Queensland shot at the Maroon Wash. Make sure you're here with us tomorrow morning. Margo has just hit herself in the face.
Hit myself in the eye with my headphones.
That's incredible.
That actually really hurts.
How many times have you put headphones on after songs when we're about to speak? Thousands?
Sorry, boys, can we get an eye patch in here for Margo?
You okay?
Yarr!
Like a bone.
Now listen, the good thing is...
You know your eyebrow bone? I hit that with
my head. It's called
your cranium, yes. Good thing is, not long to go. Like for today. It's almost over.
I think we have to rule out Margo on an HIA, I think.
Can we have the bunker have another look at that incident?
This could be a miracle concussion. Mm. I might actually speak properly tomorrow.
When they hit people in the head.
It's going to have the reverse effect.
Margo
could be the only person in history to get a concussion and put on IQ points.
Independent doctor has just rung through. You're off.
I'm off.
Yep, go and have a look.
Send me.
Go down the tunnel and tell us how it goes. But hold on. Just think about what happened. What was last night? Come on.
Tuesday. Oh, no, Monday. Today's Tuesday.
Oh, no, that concussion. Remember I told you hours ago. What was last night?
What was last night?
The longest night.
Oh, winter solstice.
Yeah, that's the shortest day.
I thought you were going to say it's the grand final tonight for the Celebrity Apprentice.
Are you okay? You need to really hit the showers, mate.
Now, because what I want to say.
Sorry, the winter solstice.
Yeah, longest night of the year last night.
Today.
Shortest day of the year today. Yeah. Are you okay? Can you feel everything? I just want to talk about.
How many fingers, mate?
There would have been. Yeah, you're right. Are you okay?
I'm so sweaty.
How many fingers are holding up?
Clammy. I'm not feeling well.
We may need a doctor. Listen, or go and have a shower in one of the reams. That'll sort you out.
Oh, I need a ream. That's what I need. Good reaming. Like a ream shower.
Yeah, you probably
stop it.
Here's a quiz for you to check if you can cast. Name three words to describe ream.
Steady, strong, and hot.
Well, you got them backwards.
Got back in front, hot, strong. It's a good day to play paper, scissors, rocks against you, isn't it? Win easily, then slap you with a tortilla. It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show. Triple M.